Welcome back to Between the Lines. We hope you enjoyed that break, because we're diving back into the depths of Scripture with more enlightening discussions. Join us now as we continue our journey.
Chapter 37, Book of Exodus, with David and Jonathan on Understanding the Bible Between the Lines on WBFF 97.7. Glad you're here with us. Bezaleel made the ark of the shittim wood. 2 cubits and a half was the length of it, and 1.5 cubits the breadth of it, and 1.5 cubits the height of it. And he overlaid it with pure gold within and without, and made a crown of gold to it round about. And he cast for it 4 rings of gold to be set by the 4 corners of it, even 2 rings upon one side of it, and 2 rings upon the other side of it. And he made staves of shittim wood, and overlaid them with gold, and he put the staves into the rings by the sides of the ark to bear the ark. And he made the mercy seat of pure gold, 2.5 cubits was the length thereof, and 1.5 cubits the breadth thereof. And he made 2 cherubims of gold beaten out of 1 piece, made he them. On the 2 ends of the mercy seat, 1 cherub on the end of this side, the other cherub on the other end of that side. Out of the mercy seat made he the cherubims on the 2 ends thereof. Building the Ark of the Covenant, he's got 2 angels, one on each side, and the mercy seat in the middle. They're facing one another, and their wingtips come together in the center. And the cherubim spread out their wings on high and covered with their wings over the mercy seat, with their faces one to another, even the mercy seat where the faces of the cherubims. And he made the table of chittim wood, 2 cubits was the length thereof, and 1 cubit and a breadth thereof, and 1.5 cubits the height thereof. And he overlaid it with pure gold, and made thereunto a crown of gold round about. Also he made thereunto a border of 1 handbreadth round about, and made a crown of gold for the border thereof round about. And we are seeing the first use of gold plating here. No, why didn't they make it out of solid gold? Because it would have taken 20 men to carry it, not just 4. So God being a practical God, says we're going to just gold plate everything, make it a little lighter. We don't need an elephant to carry it.
Right.
And he cast it for 4 rings in gold, and put the rings upon the 4 corners, and were in the 4 feet thereof, over against the border, where the rings, the places for the staves to bear the table. And he made the staves of shittim wood, and overlaid them with gold, and bare the table. And he made the vessels which were upon the table his dishes, and his spoons, and his bowls, and his covers to cover withal of pure gold. And he made the candlestick of pure gold of beaten work, made he the candlestick, his shaft, and his branch, his bowls, his knobs, and his flowers were of the same. You know, craftsmen throughout the years have always, whatever they've made, they've turned it over on the bottom and put their name. And I'm wondering, did he put his initials on there? I mean, he had to have been so proud. God chose him, gave him the supernatural knowledge on how to build all of these things to the finest specifications to be in the service of God. And 6 branches going out of the sides thereof, 3 branches of the candlestick out of the one side thereof, and 3 branches of the candlestick out of the other side thereof. 3 bowls made after the fashion of almonds in 1 branch, a knop and a flower, and 3 bowls made like almonds in another branch, a knop and a flower. So throughout the 6 branches going out of the candlestick. And if you can visualize that, you are 1 step ahead of me.
Yes, yes.
And in the candlestick were 4 bowls made like almonds, his knops and his flowers, and a knop under 2 branches of the same, and a knop under 2 branches of the same, and a knob under 2 branches of the same, according to the 6 branches going out of it. Their knobs and their branches were of the same. All of it was 1 beaten work of pure gold. That sounds so impossible to me. You take 1 piece of gold, and through hammering with various hammers, you fashion what God is describing here. And he made his 7 lamps and his snuffers and his snuff dishes of pure gold. Of 1 talent of gold, pure gold, made he it and all the vessels thereof. And he made the incense altar of shittim wood, and 1 length of it was 1 cubit, and 1 breadth of it 1 cubit. It was 4 square, and 2 cubits was the height of it. The horns thereof were of the same. And he overlaid it with pure gold, both the top of it and the sides thereof round about, and the horns of it also he made unto it a crown of gold round about. And he made two rings of gold for it under the crown thereof, by the two corners of it upon the two sides thereof, to be places for the staves to bear it withal. And he made the staves of shittim wood, and overlaid them with gold, and he made the holy anointing oil, and the pure incense of sweet spices, according to the work of the apothecary. Book of Exodus, chapter 38. Bear with me, we're going to get back to the storylines here in a few minutes. God has instructed the Israelites how to build his sanctuary, his big tent that he wants to be with his children, a place. Well, to look upon the face of God is death to a sinful piece of flesh, being a man. All men are sinful at this point because of the fall of Adam in the garden. So God says, I want to be with my people, but they cannot look upon me. So I'm going, I want you to build this tent. He's given all these specific instructions on the tent. And I will occasionally be in the tent, and I'll talk to you between the veil. So remember the veil? The veil is present even up to the crucifixion of Christ when it is ripped in half, signifying man can no longer has to be separated from God. And at this point, he can speak to them through the veil. Chapter 38, and he made the altar of burnt offerings of shittim wood. 5 cubits was the length thereof, 5 cubits the breadth thereof. It was 4 square and 3 cubits the height thereof, and he made the horns thereof on the 4 corners of it. The horns thereof were of the same, and he overlaid it with brass. And he made all the vessels of the altar, and pots, and the shovels, and the basins, and the flesh hooks, and the fire pans, all the vessels thereof made he of brass. And he made for the altar a brazen grate of network under the compass thereof, beneath unto the midst of it. And he cast 4 rings for the 4 ends of the grate of brass, to be placed for the staves. And he made the staves of shittim wood, and overlaid them with brass, and he put the staves into the rings on the sides of the altar to bear it withal. He made the altar hollow with boards, and he made the lever of the brass, and the foot of it of brass, of the looking glass of the women assembling, which assembled at the door of the tabernacle of the congregation. And he made the court on the south side southward. The hangings of the court were of fine twined linen, 100 cubits. These pillars were 20, and their brazen sockets 20, and the hooks of the pillars and their fillets were of silver. And for the north side, the hangings were 100 cubits. Their pillars were 20, and their sockets of brass 20, the hooks of the pillars and their fillets of silver. And the west side were hangings of 50 cubits, their pillars 10, and their sockets 10, the hooks of the pillars and their fillets of silver. And for the east side, eastward, 50 cubits, the hanging of the one side and the gate were 15 cubits, their pillars 3 and their sockets 3. For the other side of the court gate, on this hand and that hand, were hangings of 15 cubits, their pillars 3 and their sockets 3. All the hangings of the court round about were of fine twined linen, and the sockets for the pillars were brass, and the hooks of the pillars and their fillets of silver, and their overlaying of their chapiters of silver, and all their pillars of the courts were filleted with silver. And the hanging for the gate of the court were needlework of blue and purple and scarlet and fine twined linen, and 20 cubits was the length, and the height of the breadth was 5 cubits, answerable to the hanging of the court. And their pillars were 4, and their sockets of brass 4, and their hooks of silver, and the overlaying of their chapiters and their fillets of silver. And all the pins of the tabernacle and all the court round about were of brass. This is the sum of the tabernacle, even of the tabernacle of testimony, as it was counted according to the commandment of Moses, for the service of the Levites, by the hand of Ithamar, son of Aaron, the priest. Bezaleel, the son of Uri, the son of Hur, of the tribe of Judah, made all that the Lord commanded Moses. And with him was Aholibib, son of Ahishamach, of the tribe of Dan, an engraver and a cunning workman, an embroiderer in blue and purple and in scarlet and fine linen. All the gold that was occupied for the work in all the work of the holy place, even the gold of the offerings, was 29 talents. quite a lot back then, and 730 shekels after the shekel of the sanctuary. And the silver of them that were numbered of the congregation was 100 talents, and 1,715 shekels after the shekel of the sanctuary. And bekah for every man, a bekah for every man, that is, half a shekel after the shekel of the sanctuary. For everyone that went to be numbered, from 20 years old and upward, were 600,000 and 3,550 men. So there we have it again, 600,000 men, not counting women and children, so we estimate to be somewhere up near 2 million person. And 100 talents of silver were cast in the sockets of the sanctuary and the sockets of the veil, 100 sockets and 100 talents, a talent for a socket. And of all the 1,775 shekels, he made hooks for the pillars and overlaid the chapiters and filleted them. And the brass of the offering was 70 talents, 2,400 shekels. And therewith he made the sockets to the door of the tabernacle of the congregation, the brazen altar and the brazen grate for it, and all the vessels of the altar, and the sockets of the court round about, and the sockets of the court gate, and all the pins of the tabernacle, and all the pins of the court round about. Here with David and Jonathan on Between the Lines, Understanding the Bible. We're into Exodus, one of the more laborious portions of Exodus, when God is describing how to build his tabernacle, and now we're seeing it actually being built, so they kind of rehash it and describe what they built exactly the way God described how to build it in the last chapter. Chapter 39. Bear with me, we'll get on to things that will fascinate you even more than how many loops were in one socket.
Yes.
Chapter 39, Book of Exodus. And of the blue and purple and scarlet they made clothes of service to do service in the holy place, and made the holy garments for Aaron, as the Lord commanded Moses. And he made the ephod of gold, blue, and purple, and scarlet, and fine twined linen. They did beat the gold into thin plates, and cut it into wires, to make it in the blue, and in the purple, and in the scarlet, and in the fine linen, with cunning work. So they are actually hammering out gold thread and putting it into these garments. I mean, the skill and craftsmanship undoubtedly was downloaded spiritually into these fellows. They made shoulder pieces for it, a couple it together by the two edges was it coupled together, and the curious girdle of this ephod that was upon it was of the same, according to the work thereof, of gold, blue, and purple, and scarlet, and fine twined linen, as the Lord commanded Moses. And they brought onyx stones enclosed in ouches of gold, that's a setting of gold, graven as signets are graven with the names of the children of Israel. And he put them on the shoulders of the ephod, that they should be stones for the memorial to the children of Israel, as the Lord commanded Moses. And he made the breastplate of cunning work, like the work of the ephod, of gold, blue, and purple, and scarlet, and fine twined linen. It was four square. They made the breastplate double. A span was the length thereof, and a span the breadth thereof, being doubled. And they set in it four rows of stones. The first row was a sardius, a topaz, and a carbuncle. This was the first row. Okay, so what we talked about the other day was when God was telling them how to do this, there'd be stones, a stone on each side of the shoulder plate that the priest wore. And each stone would have six of the names of the patriarchs, the children of Israel's children, on each side. And you notice that Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob are not there. Only Jacob's children will be on the priest's robe. Because very shortly, when they go in to occupy Canaan, God's promise to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob has come to conclusion. From there on, it will be on these 12 children, the 12 tribes of Israel, and all the promise that God had made to the others will reside in them. Giving them the land, that promise is over. But God had promised several of the tribes he would make great nations out of them, and this and that. And that is the reminder on the priest's robe. And the second row, an emerald, a sapphire, and a diamond. And the third row, a ligure, an agate, and an amethyst. And the fourth rode a beryl, an onyx, and a jasper. They were enclosed in settings of gold in their enclosings. And the stones were according to the names of the children of Israel, 12 according to their names, like the engravings of the signet, every one with his name according to the 12 tribes. And they made upon the breastplate chains at the end, and a wreath work of pure gold. And they made 2 ouches, settings of gold, and 2 gold rings, and put the 2 rings in the 2 ends of the breastplate. And they put the 2 wreath chains of gold in the 2 rings on the ends of the breastplate. And the 2 ends of the 2 wreath chains they fastened in the 2 settings, and put them on the shoulder piece of the ephod before it. And they made 2 rings of gold, and put them on the 2 ends of the breastplate on the border of it, which was on the side of the ephod inward. And they made 2 other golden rings, and put them on the 2 sides of the ephod underneath toward the fore part of it, over against the other coupling thereof, above the curious girdle of the ephod. And they did bind the breastplate by his rings into the rings of the ephod with a lace of blue, that it might be above the curious girdle of the ephod, and that the breastplate might not be loosed from the ephod, as the Lord commanded Moses. And he made the robe of the ephod of woven work, all of blue. And there was a hole in the midst of the robe, as the hole for an habergeon, which was a band round about the hole, that it should not rend. So this habergeon is a coat of mail armor, little rings that are all fastened together, such as a knight would wear. So he's trying to give you a visual picture here of how they're dressing this priest. And they made upon the hems of the robe pomegranates of blue and purple and scarlet and twined linen. And they made bells of pure gold, and put the bells between the pomegranates upon the hem of the robe, round about between the pomegranates, a bell and a pomegranate round about on the hem of the robe to minister in, as the Lord commanded Moses. And they made coats of fine linen of woven work for Aaron and his sons, and a mitre of fine linen, and goodly bonnets of the fine linen, and linen breeches of fine twined linen. We discussed there the first time that men had started wearing breeches, and a girdle of fine twined linen, and blue and purple and scarlet of needlework, as the Lord commanded Moses. And they made the plate of the holy crown of pure gold, and wrote upon it a writing like to the engravings of the signet, holiness to the Lord. And they tied unto it a lace of blue to fasten it on high upon the mitre, as the Lord commanded Moses. Thus was all the work of the tabernacle of the tent of the congregation finished, and the children of Israel did according to all that the Lord commanded Moses, so they did. And they brought the tabernacle unto Moses, the tent, and all the furniture, his thatches, his boards, his bars, and his pillars, and his sockets, and the covering of ram skins dyed red, and covering of badger skins, and the veil of the covering, the ark of the testimony, and the staves thereof, and the mercy seat, the table and all the vessels thereof, and the showbread, the pure candlestick with the lamps thereof, even with the lamps to be set in order, and all the vessels thereof, and the oil for light, and the golden altar, and the anointing oil, and the sweet incense, and the hanging for the tabernacle door, the brazen altar, and his grate of brass, his staves and all his vessels, the laver and his foot, the hangings of the court, his pillars and his sockets, and the hangings of the court gate, his cords and his pins, and all the vessels of service of the tabernacle for the tent of the congregation, the clothes of service to do service in the holy place, and the holy garments for Aaron and the priest, and his son's garments to minister in the priest's office, according to all that the Lord commanded Moses. So the children of Israel made all the work. And Moses did look upon all the work, and beheld, they had done it as the Lord had commanded, even so had they done it, and Moses blessed them. So, like we said, they couldn't stick to the first covenant given to Abraham, follow me with all your heart, and circumcise your children. So God has added the law now, and if you have a law, you have to have a judge. So we have the priest's office to administer the law to the children, and so a religion is born in this law. You know, I'm going to say something here that's going to shock you. God hates religion.
100%.
God wants a spiritual connection with you. It's what he said in his first covenant. Follow me with all your heart. they couldn't do it. So now he had to give them earthly tasks, religious tasks, so that they could focus on ways of trying to be holy, because they couldn't do it in the simplicity of their heart, which is all that he wants. He doesn't want your tithes, he doesn't want your money, he wants your heart. It's a reoccurring theme in this Bible. Chapter 40, Book of Exodus, here with David and Jonathan on WBFF 97.7. Between the lines, understanding the Bible. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, on the first day of the first month shalt thou set up a tabernacle of the tent of the congregation. Thou shalt put therein the ark of the testimony, and cover the ark with the veil. Thou shalt bring in the table, and set in order the things that are to be set in order upon it. Thou shalt bring in the candlestick, and light the lamps thereof. Thou shalt set the altar of gold for the incense before the ark of the testimony, and put the hanging of the door to the tabernacle. Thou shalt set the altar of the burnt offering before the door of the tabernacle of the tent of the congregation. Thou shalt set the laver between the tent of the congregation and the altar, and shalt put water therein. Thou shalt set up the court round about, and hang up the hanging of the court gate. Thou shalt take the anointing oil, and anoint the tabernacle and all that is therein, and shalt hallow it and all the vessels thereof, and it shall be holy. You will do this exactly the same every time, once a month. Thou shalt anoint the altar of the burnt offering and all his vessels, and sanctify the altar, and it shall be an altar most holy. Thou shalt anoint the laver and his foot. There we go with the male pronoun on some of these items. And sanctify it, and thou shalt bring Aaron and his sons unto the door of the tabernacle of the congregation, and wash them with water. Thou shalt put upon Aaron the holy garments, and anoint him, and sanctify him, that he may minister unto me in the priest's office. And I do believe he has Moses doing this, because Moses is the only one of them who has the heart as close to God as any could be. Thou shalt bring his sons, and clothe them with coats, and thou shalt anoint them as thou didst anoint their father, that they may minister unto me in the priest's office, for their anointing shall surely be an everlasting priesthood throughout their generations. Thus did Moses, according to all the Lord commanded him, so did he. And it came to pass in the first month, in the second year, on the first day of the month, that the tabernacle was reared up. Moses reared up the tabernacle, and fastened his sockets, and set up the boards thereof, and put in the bars thereof, and reared up the pillars. And he spread abroad the tent over the tabernacle, and put the covering of the tent above it, as the Lord commanded Moses. And he took and put the testimony into the ark, and set the staves on the ark, and put the mercy seat above upon the ark. And he brought the ark unto the tabernacle, and set up the veil of the covering, and covered the ark of the testimony, as the Lord commanded Moses. And he put the table in the tents of the congregation upon the side of the tabernacle northward without the veil. And he set the bread in order upon it before the Lord, as the Lord had commanded Moses. And he put the candlestick in the tent of the congregation over against the table on the side of the tabernacle southward. And he lighted the lamps before the Lord, as the Lord commanded Moses. And he put the golden altar in the tent of the congregation before the veil, and he burnt sweet incense thereon, as the Lord commanded Moses. And he set up the hanging at the door of the tabernacle, and he put the altar of burnt offerings by the door of the tabernacle of the tent of the congregation, and offered it as a burnt offering and a meat offering, as the Lord commanded Moses. And he set the laver between the tent of the congregation and the altar, and put water there to wash withal. And Moses and Aaron and his sons washed their hands and their feet thereat, when they were into the tent of the congregation, and when they came near into the altar, they washed as the Lord commanded Moses. And he reared up the court round about the tabernacle and the altar, and set up the hangings of the court gate. So Moses finished the work. Then a cloud covered the tent of the congregation, and the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle. And Moses was not able to enter into the tent of the congregation, because the cloud abode thereon, and the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle. When the cloud was taken up from over the tabernacle, the children of Israel went onward in all their journeys. But if the cloud were not taken up, then they journeyed not till the day it was taken up. For the cloud of the Lord was upon the tabernacle by day, and fire was on it by night, in the sight of all the house of Israel throughout all your journey. So God is actually residing there with the cloud as evidence and the fire at night. And when he leaves, that's when they move to their next place. They take the tent down and they move. You've been here with David and Jonathan on Between the Lines, understanding God's amazing Bible full of guidance, love, and all he wants from you is your heart. He doesn't want anything else, you know. Tithe with your heart, you know. He asks men to tithe with money because he knows that's where their heart is. So men love money so much. If they can actually wrench it out of their hands and give it to God, it shows there's hope for them in their heart. We'll see you next time here on WVFF Between the Lines with David and Jonathan. Have a good day.
Thank you for joining us on this episode of Between the Lines. We hope you've gained a deeper understanding of God's Word and strengthened your faith in Jesus. Tune in again for more spiritual discoveries, 3 p.m. daily with David and Jonathan. Exclusively here on Veterans for Freedom Radio, the Truth in Broadcasting Corporation.